Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emitting, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but believe me, never duplicated. I've been doing this for decades. That's right, knocking out all bums for 40 years. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was nationally ranked, and I'm an award-winning journalist, so I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan. You are. Or is there an average boxing fan today? Did boxing peak in the 1980s and 1990s? Is boxing on a downward spiral? I mean, can the Sheikh, can this guy from Saudi Arabia with all his money, can he and Dana White bring the sport back to respectability? That's what people are saying to me. What I'm trying to say to myself is the sport really doesn't need to be back, brought back to respectability. It just needs to do its thing. Boxing's not a respectable sport. When you've got two guys going out there trying to kill each other, I don't think there's any respect in that whatsoever. Maybe afterwards you can shake each other's hand, but going into it, it's bad blood, no doubt about that. What I'm trying to tell you is this is combat sports. Of course, Dana White making his move with the Sheikh, now going to start this boxing league, and I'm not all for that. Of course, they've got the wrestling end of it, and of course, also they've got the MMA end of it. So Dana's got his hand in just about everything. Of course, UFC Fight Pass, you see that on different cable networks. Of course, the Fire Stick and that kind of good stuff. So you can't get away from Dana White in boxing. You just can't. Of course, he started in Boston. He was in Boston, I think East Boston. He had a boxing gym. He was nothing but a punch drunk. He was like a four-round guy. What I mean by a four-round guy is he trained four-round guys. That's what he did. He trained four-round guys. None of them became anything of prominence. Most of his fighters just were bums, were four-round guys. Of course, Daniel was just one of those guys that threw a towel over his shoulder, called himself a trainer, and guess what? He was in boxing. But guess what? He sort of got threatened by the mob. No, he did get threatened by the mob. Whitey Bulger, of course, Larry Merchant's buddy down there in Santa Monica, California. Merchant was going in the building when Whitey Bulger was living in. Of course, for about 10 years, he was on the number one most wanted list with the FBI. But get this, he threatened Dana White's life. So that's what made Dana White leave Boston and go to Vegas and meet the Fertitta brothers, of course. Then they started the UFC. Had Whitey Bulger taken care of business, straight up, God knows where we might be. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295. You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I do apologize for offending anyone.
That's not true. I've never, ever issued an apology. As far as offending people is concerned, that's what they pay me to do. I think, per se. Bottom line is, if I didn't offend some people, you've got to, like, you got to sort of split it down the middle. Somebody told me it was like a 60-40 type of thing as far as listening to the radio back in the radio days. Of course, this isn't radio days anymore, but this is an old-time radio show. Bottom line is, it used to be 60-40. And it was the program director at KNBR told me one time, if you get 60% of the people out there to like you, listen to you, and the 40% don't like you, that makes for a good... I said, okay, bottom line is, that was Bob Agnew. May he rest in peace. I think he's been gone now a couple of years. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, Richard Torres Jr. in action a little bit later today. Of course, an amateur star here in the United States, but not much as a pro, I don't think. Bottom line is 12-0, 11 KOs, taking on Guido Vianello, but Vianello got stopped in a fight. I'm not looking at his record. He's got some suspect wins there. Bottom line is, it looks like another setup, although I think Tommy D, the great Thomas D, of course, the shot caller for Sunday, I think he's calling for Guido to win this fight, but I think Richard Torres, God, I wish Richard Torres was 139 pounder and fighting in the Golden Gloves back in my era. I just do. I mean, because I don't think he could lick a stamp if you wet his tongue. I mean, I just can't. But maybe he'll win here tonight because, you know, everything's set up. In fact, when I was looking at Guido's record, he was stopped by Jonathan Rice back in 2023, and I don't think Jonathan's fought since then. That was at the Turning Stone Casino in Verona, New York, which is the site of the International Boxing Hall of Fame, of course. And that was a casino that used to be dry. They didn't have any booze there. We did a Camacho fight there one time with Mike Acree, the late promoter Mike Acree. And I was looking for a beer afterwards. I wasn't a big drinker. I've never been a big drinker. But it was like we were inside of a tent for like 2.5-3 hours. It was like 95 degrees. There was no air conditioning in this tent. This tent was hot. Anyway, so I wanted a beer. I went to the bar and asked for a beer. And the guy looked at me like I was high. I said, what do you mean? He goes, we don't serve alcohol here. Oh, I said, really? I said, oh, okay, that's a novel idea. Because, you know, I'm not got family full of drunks. So I can deal with that. And, of course, the Indians being having the white man's poison, of course, alcohol, et cetera. Bottom line is they are selling booze now. They have been for the last 5 or 6 years. So obviously the Indians in the Turning Stone Casino realized that money was more important. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, want to mention the fact of some historical dates. We'll go through them a little bit later. August 3rd, 1992, of course, Greg Haugen and Ray Mancini. Greg Haugen passed away a fortnight ago. Of course, the former NABF champion. I think that was an NABF fight at that point in time, a 12-round North American Boxing Federation fight. But they were... They had fought before, of course, Greg Haugen, an abrasive guy. Sometimes he was great. Other times he was just a total jerk. And I want to use the a-hole word there, but I won't. But, you know, kids listening. But the bottom line is he was a bit hard to deal with. This is no doubt about it. May he rest in peace. But he and Mancini hooked it up August 3rd, 1992. That was a significant day in my career because I remember I had the job of interviewing people ringside in the back. And James Caan, the actor of Godfather fame, was drunk as a skunk, okay? And I said to him, I said, so James, give me a prediction. He goes, oh, the world's going to come to an end. And he starts babbling all kinds of drunk stuff. And Lou Falsiglum, the producer and the promoter, screams in my ear, get that mother ducker off my air right now. So I've got somebody screaming all these obscenities in my ear, and James Caan is in front of me. I just can't cut the camera on James Caan, isn't it? So anyway, I got out of that one. And, of course, that was the same show I interviewed Mark Gastineau. Of course, the former of the New York Jets, they were trying to set him up for a fight with George Foreman. Of course, his promoter, Rick Parker, was shot by Tim Doc Anderson. Of course, Rick Parker allegedly set up all of Mark Gastineau's fights as fixes, allegedly. Anyway, I interviewed Gastineau afterwards. I go, Mark, so tell me about your win, this and that. And he looks at me like I wasn't even there. Say, Mark, man, look at me. So I repeated it twice, and I didn't get his attention. I had to stomp on his foot. And, of course, now he's suffering from Alzheimer's or CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And the reason why I bring up the chronic traumatic encephalopathy a lot is the fact that I think Deontay Wilder is a candidate for CTE. I can't believe that the former 2004-2008 Olympic bronze medalist, the bronze bomber, an underachiever. I mean, he did a lot for having very few amateur fights. I mean, making it into the Olympics and winning the bronze medal, of course, and then winning the World Heavyweight Championship. But losing the way he's lost of late, it's not productive for him to continue. I mean, the money thing, so what? I mean, he's got enough money. He could spit $1,000 bills. You know what I mean? Spit with an H. He could wipe his butt with $1,000 bills, and he'd still have a lot of money. I mean, the guy's got unbelievable amounts of money, but he wants to fight on. Of course, some people think it's for the fame. Some people think it's for the notoriety. Of course, he thinks that maybe he can come back and get back up on top of the throne again. I don't think so. I think he's just a candidate for brain damage. So would he stay away? It looks like he's going to come back, I believe, in May or June against some guy that somebody told me the guy was like a cab driver or something. I kid you not. This is the guy who was a cab driver. And that date, August 3rd, 1992. That was pretty that was weird. And Livingstone Bramble was there. Mark James Carey was there. That was pretty weird. Jim Carrey, the comedian. That was all really weird. Of course, I remember when Al Bernstein said to me, like it was like seventh round, or just before Haugen knocked out Mancini, Al Bernstein said to me, what do you think, Pedro? I said, you know, Ray should have stayed retired. Ray should have listened to me and stayed retired. He's about to get knocked out. And Al Bernstein goes, oh, I don't know about that. And then bang, Ray gets knocked out. Yeah, that's why. Me and Al, put it this way, we're probably the best broadcast team in all of TV that doesn't work together, but we hate each other. We just don't like each other. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's take it from one guy that I dislike in boxing to a guy that I love in boxing. I'm talking about boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, bro. How are you?
Pretty good. Of course, this is Buster Douglas. Buster Douglas, man. Good old Buster Douglas. Somebody said to me he was born on this day in 1960. Of course, him and Mike Tyson hooking it up there in 1990, of course, the meltdown in Tokyo, Mike Tyson, but him coming. Why do you think that Buster Douglas failed so miserably against Evander Holyfield? Because, I mean, afterwards he went up to like 300 pounds and then said, how did he lose his mind?
Well, when you come from humble beginnings, you know, and you get a lot of notoriety and more importantly, money, you don't know how to act sometimes. And I think that Buster, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from Evander because we don't know, you know, even if Buster was in the best shape of his life, maybe he still loses to Evander. But I think the overindulgence, the celebrity was a little too much.
He laid down. I believe he laid down. You know, I was with him in Columbus, Ohio, I guess in May of 1990. I think it was May of 1990. And he was about 280 pounds, 300 pounds. Of course, when We went to breakfast, and he told me he ate at home already. So we had breakfast about 9 o'clock. Then we had lunch at noon, and then we had lunch again about 2, and then we ate again about 5, and then he had dinner again late at night. So I mean, he was like You know, the best way I could put the best way I could describe Buster Douglas is that he was a professional eater.
Professional. Look, I mean, he went from zero notoriety to. I remember him being a referee in a WWE match, and then having a video game for Sega Genesis. Like, the celebrity was insane, you know, for what he did, you know, to Mike Tyson. And then, like you said, he overshot that right hand again. Got caught with an uppercut that it looked like if he wanted to get up, he could have. But
you know what Mills Lane told me? Mills Lane was a referee. My broadcast partner was a referee. I said, Mills, did he take a dive? He goes, well, he certainly didn't try to get up.
That's probably the best way to put it.
You know, and he was shielding his eyes from the light. That was a time. That was a fight where I was kicking it at the Mirage Hotel. The Mirage Hotel had been open not like a year, it's less than a year, something like that. Anyway, but I'm kicking the Mirage Hotel, and I'm at the California Pizza Kitchen getting a pizza, and the chick tells me, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" She goes, "Buster Douglas is in the sauna." I said, "Huh?" He goes, "Yeah, Buster Douglas is in the sauna." I said, "You got to be kidding me." She goes, "No, no." I said, "How do you know?" She goes, "We just brought 5 pizza boxes in there." And I said, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, we just brought 5 pizza boxes into the sauna, and Buster Douglas is in there." I said, "Whoa!" So you know, I got into the sauna room, right? So I open up the door, and there's 5 pizza boxes there, and I see J.D. McCauley leaving, one of Buster Douglas's trainers leaving, and then I see Buster and these guys all in the shower. Okay, so the bottom line is they were eating pizza in the sauna. Is that counterproductive or what?
That's crazy. I have no words.
And that was like two days before the fight. I was like blown away by it. Of course, and then there was a big weigh-in. I don't know if you know Mike. Did you know Michael Katz, the sprinter?
No.
You didn't know Mike. I know nobody knew Michael Katz, the sprinter, but I saw him sprint one day. Guess what? It was at the weigh-in for Holyfield and Buster Douglas. When Buster Douglas weighed in like 240 pounds or something like that. Anyway, Mike Katz goes like running out of the place like he's got to like, he's got to go to the bathroom really bad. Like, he's trying to find the toilet. I kid you not. I was like, ah! He was like a maniac. But why is Mike Katz running that fast? I thought he was running to the bathroom. He was running to the booking, the betting. He went to bet. He bet on Holyfield. When he saw that weight, he went straight. I have never seen may he rest in peace. He died a couple of months ago. But I'm telling you, honest to God truth, I have never seen Michael Katz move so fast in my entire life. Nobody ever has. He's never moved that fast ever again before or after.
I guess it's a wise investment.
Well, you know, bottom line is Mike Katz, may he rest in peace. Of course, Buster Douglas, former heavyweight champion of the world, has got some issues. Came out with a book about, I think he had a cookbook for diabetics or something like that, a barbecue cookbook for diabetics, something like that. I guess he would know a little bit about that because he has some diabetic issues. Of course, his father was a pretty good fighter, and I met his father one time in Columbus. Let me tell you, at one point in time, Columbus was a little boxing hotbed. I mean, not that any great fighters or anything like that came out of that, but the bottom line is we were doing fights there like once a month, once every 3 weeks. We were televising them on local cable, and John Johnson, of course, that was the money behind the television production. Of course, he was the manager of Buster Douglas. He was the guy that took the chance. I don't think he took so much of a chance. What happened was people wondered why Buster Douglas was in such great shape for this fight but not in great shape for other fights. Well, he had 2 training camps. They were supposed to have this fight like in September or October of 1989, and Tyson was lazy and fat or something like that, so they put it off. So he stayed in camp. So he had 2 training camps. That's the only reason why you saw the slim, trim Buster Douglas for February of 1990. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with Boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer after the break. Speaking of the break, going to see the Commodores tonight. Of course, my buddy Brent Carter, the newest addition and co-lead singer of the Commodores, we're wishing him the very best of luck coming to Northern California tonight.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
So get this, that is the Average White Band. And if ever was a band not named appropriately, it is the Average White Band. Obviously, they retired in November of 2024. Of course, a couple of months later, Brent Carter gets signed by the Commodores. He's one of their new lead singers. Of course, they are rocking and rolling tonight in, I think they're in Carmine. No, down Campbell, California, and tomorrow in Folsom, California. So I think I'm going to catch both shows. Bottom line is, Brent is rocking and rolling. More power to him. Of course, he is Mr. Carter's kid. Of course, I met the Carter family in Detroit. We had a big fight with Prince Nassima Met, I think, and Wayne McCullough at the Cobo Arena in Detroit, Michigan. And I invited the entire family. That was the last time the entire family got together. It was a great event, no doubt about that. And I do miss the Goldfather. Speaking of the Goldfather, Emmanuel Stewart, looks like boxing coming back to Detroit. Clip Promotions, of course, not my favorite guy. But I take it back. Carlos Linus and I never had clashes. But the bottom line is, he's throwing cards both Friday and Saturday nights. Of course, Sunday they have an amateur card. So more power to the people in Detroit. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back to Boxing News, PhD, Soccer News, Palmer. Time to play the name game just for a couple of minutes. Straight up, go ahead.
Okay. The love-hate that boxing fans have with these people, promoters. So I'm going to spit out some promoters, and you tell me first thing that comes to mind. Don Chargan.
A war a week Chargan, that's what he was named, of course, down there at the Olympic Auditorium when he had those fights on national television every week, I think every Friday night or something like that. Bottom line is, he was a good guy to be around. He was a stone-cold businessman. He was sued by his last three main event fighters, so I don't know what that means. And they won.
Man that I don't think. Okay, the man that I never seen with a button-up shirt but a tuxedo bow tie, but Butch Lewis.
Butch Lewis was a weird dude. When I say a weird dude, he was drunk. He was a drunk, an alcoholic. Now, when he was drunk, it was one Butch. When he wasn't drunk, it was another Butch. When he was a greedy Butch, it was another Butch. So Butch had all these different personalities. Of course, I'll never forget the time he walked into Mike Tyson's dressing room